So it's our favorite story. We've been talking about them for quite some time. And the name is...
Sinclair Broadcasting.
We'll tell you why we're talking about them again. But first, welcome to this episode of Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go searching around for it like coins lost under your bed. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter. And listen on iTunes and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by Mack Weldon. It's a premium men's essentials brand. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code CLNS at checkout. We're also powered by Little Part Media, where ideas come to life, producing corporate videos and podcasts to tell your story. For more, check out littlepartmedia.com or contact info@littlepartmedia.com. So this is a revealing story, Jimmy, about Sinclair Broadcasting.
I got to tell you, New Yorker, you like the New Yorker, don't
yes,
you?
Yes.
The journalism that comes out of that
I'm
magazine.
I'm amazed.
It is very impressive.
This is new for me because I don't know that I wasn't sitting around saying, oh, let me see what the New Yorker is doing. But maybe it's a sign of the times that magazines like the New Yorker papers.
The Economist is another one.
They're all digging around and coming up with some good stuff.
Right. And that's where the journalist world perhaps needs to go. Good content.
Good.
We always believe in good content.
Yes. And maybe most newspapers don't have the space or the time to lay out something like they've been able to do with this expose. But I'm glad that there are outlets that are doing it.
Yeah.
And this one, we've talked a lot about them. More importantly, it was back when they were supplying their stations
right.
across the country with editorials by a conservative-leaning columnist.
That was part of management.
That was part of management.
Claire.
And they
right.
were saying, you need to run this. And it would
right.
be run around the news segment or within the news segment.
Right.
And then came what everybody saw, which is the editing of text that was sent out to all the anchors that they had to read during the newscast. And someone, I think it was Deadspin, that kind of edited it all together. And it became a hit. It went viral, and we saw that. Well, now we're finding out that there's even more to Sinclair Broadcasting, that they have been buying all of these stations, and whether it's part of a business arrangement or just this is a result of it, they have a big footprint in battleground states and have been continuing to provide the kind questions to their reporters to feed content that airs on local newscasts.
Dan, and I know you don't like this term.
This is disturbing.
I know that. I know
yes.
you don't like this term, but they've been brain hacking people.
Oh, here we go.
Well, think about
no,
it.
No, you're right, actually. I'm on your side with this.
This is exactly what they've been doing
yeah.
through traditional news outlets, local news outlets, and giving power to a lot of local news outlets because they now control something like, what are they reaching?
39% of American viewers. That's huge. A private company
right.
that reaches. And the thing about it, too, is, and here's the interesting point, and it was made in this expose. Most people or many people in America don't have cable. And so we sit here and we think, oh, you know, they're watching CNN or Fox or MSNBC. But a lot of people don't have cable. All they have is their local news. And these guys are controlling that local news. And in fact, they talk about here how the person who runs the company realizes that. And that's his shtick. It's like, you know what? You can talk about all these other people who have power with cable, but we have the real power.
Right. I mean, everybody kind of recognizes that the Fox News organization leans one way.
Right.
CNN might lean another way. Sinclair has, because they have put all their money and strategy behind their local media markets,
mm-hmm.
that's they're controlling the impressionable minds
yes, they are.
In these
yeah.
local markets because of the affiliation and how these local reporters are respected in their local. They have tremendous influence. You know, we talk about what Instagram influences are. We had a young lady on earlier that explained to us what an Instagram influencer was because
right.
I had no idea. But think about it. That's exactly what's going on in these local markets is
right.
that they are influencing the minds of their audience rather than reporting on the facts and letting your mind make up how you feel about the fact.
That's right. And how did they get such a big footprint? Well, this article goes into it, and we're not going off into the whole technical thing of the FCC and ownership.
No, but that's apparently scary.
Yeah, apparently they have been able to exploit loopholes that through setting up different arrangements of ownership so that they can own multiple stations in the very same market, which is something that
you're not supposed to be able to do.
Regulations have
And this have is the reason the why,
that.
By the way.
Exactly. But they have figured out a way, not saying that they did anything illegal, but taking full advantage of loopholes and backdoors and whatever you want to call it, that they can scoop up stations, own all three stations sometimes in one market, which means they get to control the narrative of what goes into that market.
And that is a scary thing for democracy.
Yeah.
And it is probably one of the biggest stories that really hasn't taken hold. I mean, Lord knows the Me Too movement had generations to build off.
Right.
Okay. And I get that. And I give them the utmost respect. But this is all kind of new within the last 15,
oh, yeah,
20 years.
Yeah. Because the stations were all owned by families. And in fact,
right.
One of the stations that comes up in this story was WPEC, which is where my wife worked at that station. I was at the competition across town. My wife worked at Channel 12 in West Palm Beach. And I knew the owner. In fact, their son worked at the station as well. It was a family-owned station. They own a number of other stations. Apparently, several years ago, they went bankrupt and needed to offload these things, so they sold it to Sinclair Broadcasting.
Or was a member of the Sinclair family, Dan.
Exactly.
And that's how they get around it, even though it is still Sinclair.
They find different loopholes to own these stations. So one of the big problems, so we talked about things that we had known about. What I didn't realize is that they often will send questions to local stations around various different political things that are happening, and the questions will always be skewed to be negative towards Democrats. Apparently, this is what they were pointing to.
And Democrats, man, we are just the targets of the world hatred.
And so they send these questions to reporters and tell them, okay, go out on the street, do these man on the street interviews. And just wanted to read something from this article here. One of the reporters, this is a former reporter, Jonathan Beaton, and he said, don't forget to grab some random poor soul on the street and shove a microphone in their face and talk about the Democrats, what the Democrats have done wrong. He said that the reporters generally complied because of an atmosphere of intimidation and fear. Another reporter, Gary Whittam, I believe, said that questions for the segments were often phrased to cast a negative light on President Obama. Sometimes they were based on inaccurate information or faulty premises. Whittam regularly filled in as an anchor, and on one occasion, he was assigned to interview a director who was making a film that was critical of Obama. He says that he decided to ask on air whether the filmmaker had considered interviewing any Obama supporters, a question that was met with bafflement. Whittam said that he was never asked to fill in as an anchor again.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Politics and it's really a shame. I mean, there's an anecdote in that article in The New Yorker about a young journalist who always aspired to be a journalist.
Yeah, yeah.
And then got involved and went, whoa.
Yeah, she started at another smaller station right out of college.
Right.
And then she finally gets to move up to West Palm Beach, which she correctly describes as a market where you get a lot of national stories, which gives you, therefore, more exposure as a reporter. It's the reason I went there and worked in that market, because I did get to work on a number of big stories. She did as well. And then 4 years later, after the station is bought out by
Sinclair.
New ownership, Sinclair, she's like, forget this stuff. And she's now working in PR for, I think, the power company or somebody, somebody else. The point I also wanted to focus on here, Jimmy, is what this one former reporter of that station said, that reporters generally complied to these kinds of requests to do these weird man on the street things out of intimidation and fear. And they go on to describe here how, you have a family. You have to pay for rent. You have to feed your kids. And in some cases, they talked about how they're getting paid less money than you would in some other markets. And people are having to go to these check cashing places to get an advance on their paychecks because they don't have money. How do you then expect a journalist like that to say, you know what? I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to buck the system. And what? end up out of work. And so there's
on the street.
Out on the street. And there's tremendous pressure on these reporters. And we can sit here from our ivory towers and say, you know, they need to do what's right. But on a ground level, it's hard to do what's right when a station is pushing you to do something and they control how you're going to eat the next day.
And I got to tell you, and Dan, you know this as, for a fact. Imagine being that on-camera reporter going into that check cashing facility.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, there is it's hard to explain to people when you are on camera and the perception of people.
You're all like.
You must be a movie star because you're on TV.
You're on that same TV.
You must
the movie
be making millions
are.
Of dollars.
Yeah. I remember when I was in Chattanooga, someone saw me driving my beater. And they told somebody who knew me and said, oh, I saw Dan Lothian the other day. He was driving this little old car. I expected him to be in a fancier car. I'm like, I'm not making any money. You know,
that's right.
Chattanooga. But you're right. People do think that.
And I got to tell you, looking at it from a former personality in a market, it's not as much fun. People think that's fun. Oh, you're a celebrity. Oh, you know, people ask you for your autograph. They come up to you at bars and ask you questions because they don't, you know, they feel like they know you because you've been in their bedrooms and stuff on TV. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, it's uncomfortable. Yeah. It was uncomfortable for me. Even though I like being out with people and I like people, mm-hmm. it was still.
So you know how uncomfortable it is for me.
I understand how uncomfortable it had to be for you. And it's not, you know, there are people I know, both of us know people that have been in this business that have had real issues with adjusting back into the regular world.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Let's just say.
I think it's tough for them, right? It's one moment everyone is welcoming you in, giving you the best table in a restaurant. The next moment it's, sorry.
You know who your friends
jam-packed.
Are. You find out who your friends are.
Right. No, so it's a tough business. And so you can only imagine that, you know, something that you believe as a reporter might be wrong, but at the same time, you need to do what's right for you and your family. And that's the push and pull. And you have this big broadcast entity that's, according to this article, exploiting that for either business or for political gain. And that's unfortunate. If you like this episode, let us know. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter. Also, give us your comments at info@littlepartmedia.com. That's info@littlepartmedia.com.